podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
A line from a film, song or TV show. Can you guess the word beneath my wind?
Gets me every time.
Nothing like a bit of surprise wind, too, to be honest.
I know, exactly. Early morning floof.
Yes, that's right. And also on a Friday. Friday floof as opposed to a Thursday thumper. We do like to play this game every Thursday. Today we're going to play it on a Friday because we didn't have time last week. But, Loggy, the situation is I take pieces of audio either from songs, movies, TV shows, something topical this week, and I play you the audio, except I substitute some words for some flatulence.
I'm going to get a clean wipe, which is 3 out of 3, which I don't really like the term of that, but that's okay. I'm excited to play along for the first time in a couple of weeks. Give it to me.
Okay. You asked for it. Question number one, what word are we looking for here?
Can you tell us about your ride on the airport catering truck in Turkey? Why did you need to do that?
Well, it's only up to I just follow what they'd like to do. So I go by and the military. They wanted me to go on a different flight, a different plane, equal safety, but they wanted me to do it, so I do it. I do what they say.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Donald Trump, catering truck,
yes.
Right? It's actually two words. So who's in charge of his
safety? Secret Service.
Yeah.
So I go by Secret Service.
Yay.
In the military.
Well,
this
man just
on a different
speaks
flight,
farts
a different
all the time.
Amazing.
All the time.
Amazing. I'm so glad you got that. I was very surprised.
I was like, CIA, FBI, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm going to have to help her. Secret Service. Cool. All right. Question number two. Tell me, what word are we looking for here?
This better not be 2 minutes of song, just for you to have one word. Okay, what's it gonna be?
Rhyme rally, it's happening on camera. Oh, what?
It got you to have to get you. You made it.
Save your what for me was sorry, I thought I dropped up.
Save your love. The word is love.
Yeah, mate.
I'm so,
well
that
done.
Was so funny that you were so scared.
I was like, hang on, I stuffed it up. Oh, God. It has happened once before.
Oh, this always hurts my neck because I'm just laughing so much.
Two from two for the fart game, the word beneath my wind this morning. Will you get three from three? Let's find out what word are we looking for here.
It's time to complete your... We need to hear from everyone to help plan for Australia's future. If you know where you'll be on Tuesday, the 11th of August, you can complete the form for your household as soon as you get your instructions. Complete the form for your household online, by paper, or with help from staff.
Oh, that is shocking.
We need to hear
that
from you.
That is shocking.
Every answer matters. For more on how to complete, visit abs.gov.au. Grant of the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Canberra.
Some very offensive ones in there.
That's not .abs, not .ibs, just
oh
so
Oh, my
know.
God. That is topical for this week. The word is census.
It's time to complete your census.
Yay.
We need to hear from everyone to help plan
God,
for Australia's
I'm sweating.
Future.
Well done, mate. Again, you are on fire. The ring of fire,
the
in
ring
fact. You have scored the clean wipe. And that is the wind beneath our wind, or the word
beneath
our
my wind. We've blown it out of the water. K-Rock.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
I saw a TikTok yesterday and I thought, oh my God, I've been doing something wrong. Mm. And apparently a lot of people have since COVID. So this is a video of people at the pub. Okay, so it's a normal bar, long bar, and there's people that are queuing up in rows of two. So they're queuing up to get their drinks, right? And the caption is, ain't a post office, ladies. And apparently hospitality staff are really upset about this because ever since COVID, people have been queuing at the bar instead of lining up. Like, it's a long bar. You're supposed to just all stand up at the bar and not line up in a queue behind each other.
So they can serve left to right or whatever.
Exactly.
And make their way along the length of the bar instead of waiting for you to come one by one.
Exactly.
Through the bar.
Wow, so all the comments were like, worked in pubs for 7 years. People queuing drives me mental. Bar is shaped like that for a reason.
Yeah.
Someone else said, no queues, layers. Another person said, the pub's the same as the barbers. Blokes instinctively know who's before them and who arrived after. Everyone gets served in order. It's an ancient system that works.
Yeah, of course.
And someone else said, COVID caused the queues in bars. Some bars keep it going. Wrecks my head. So I will know for now that you want it to be full up. Like, I guess it's sort of like if you arrive there, if you go to a place that's busy, right? If you're out and it's nighttime and you're at the pub and it's a long bar, everyone just kind of stands there anyway. But if it's not as busy and people like there's only one person that might be serving or something, I generally line up behind the person that they're serving.
Yeah. Examples, right? So I think you're right. I think it's contextual, right? So like if I'm at general public, you know, downstairs at Cryo Village, kids area, you know, it's in the middle of the day, I'm lining up for a pint.
Yeah.
Then I probably will line up behind someone. But if I'm out at, say,
the Dina, you know, she
I'm looking for a gap. I'm looking for a gap in that bar and I'm just getting my face in there and hoping that I get sort of served anytime soon. Yeah. So,
well, you're on the no serve list in Ocean Grove. So.
Oh, am I? Yeah, so coming from you.
One time.
Coming from you throwing pints around at
what?
The bar
it
when heads
pop. It was
not
a pint.
You threw a pint it and
was,
you got.
It was a, mate, I almost swore.
And
stop
the Wye River Hotel as well, where you destroyed the toilet and didn't buy anything.
Oh, my God. The lies, the lies, the lies.
Left through the window, she did.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
I see you cracking over there in the shadows. Guess your song, it's a good little game. Oh, crack that in the right form, crack that. Give me some more. Crack that. Till your ears get sore. Crack that. Whoa, whoa. All right, so this is the game that I have made because you love my musical talents. And
I do.
I have got a set of canasters. Castanets.
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 We thought they were called canasters, but that's actually a game that elderly people play.
Exactly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to clack out a tune and you have to tell me artist and song title to win the game.
Okay.
Bit hit miss. Bit of fun. 100%. Yep. If anyone else feels that they want to get involved, though, feel free.
Especially if you're getting frustrated because you know and I'm there going, feel free. Just call through 52-232-955 and put you in the draw for caller of the week as well.
Yes. Okay, here we go.
Okay, go. Oh. I wasn't following any of that.
Well, you sounded like you were.
I tried to get in the zone.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Nah, I'm not, mate. I'm not getting anything.
Is anyone getting anything?
No.
Okay, do you want a clue? So
please.
Okay, this person gives a lot of people the ick.
Okay, Chris Brown.
And no, she.
Okay.
She also dated someone or was married to someone from Lord of the Rings for a very long time.
She was married to someone from Lord of the Rings. She was. Who's in Lord of the Rings? Elijah Wood? Sean Bean?
No. That, like the main. Okay. All right. She is currently.
Oh, Katy Perry.
Yes.
And what do you like? Go again. It's not Firework.
It is. You idiot.
That was definitely not firework. Yeah, good. Yeah, no, I see it now.
Yeah, no,
I hear
it
now.
Yeah, good. Do we still like this game?
I really enjoy it. no one called to help me, and I think that is a big part of it, though. We might need to get someone on the line to help me beforehand. What do we? I got Katy Perry. You gave me clues.
You did.
I don't know.
Definitely
if I deserve,
not firework. Hilarious.
I don't deserve a winner sound effect.
No,
but
that you're a big clacker today, mate. Yes.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
I've been so worried about this, if I'm honest, just because we are so lucky to have such a thriving and beautiful bird life in Australia, but in the world as well, and they're under threat at the moment.
Yeah, the H5 bird flu has made its way to Australia, and we thought, hey, if anyone's going to know up-to-date information and be able to explain it to us in layman's terms, it's Sean Dooley from BirdLife Australia. He joins us on the line now. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, guys.
And woo to you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I need that. I need that little boost.
Yeah, appreciate you, Sean. Thank you so much.
Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, this bird flu stuff, it's something we've been dreading about arriving here in Australia it's been around the world for about the last 4 years, and it's really had major impacts on a lot of birds overseas, and we just don't know whether in Australia it'll be worse because we've never had a high pathogenic flu virus like this for birds. So it could actually be even worse here than overseas. And over the last 7-8 weeks, we've had some cases, and we've actually had the first sort of mass event. Like about 80 birds in South Australia were found dead or dying in one spot. So it is a worry, but it's also we don't want to feel like a hysterical reaction, because it's good to know what it is. It's basically, it is a bird flu, and it transmits from bird to bird, but it can shift to animals. So we're really worried about things like seals that hang out on the same beaches as some of the birds. But also it can even get into dogs and cats. And, so it's really important at the moment, because it's about seabirds that are getting it at the moment. And so if you're walking your dog on the beach, especially ocean beaches where some of these sick birds are washing up, it's really important to keep your dog on a lead, or certainly keep them away from sick birds or dead birds. You don't want them chomping down on something up in the seaweed, and it turns out it's a bird that had bird flu, because it could transfer to your dog.
Okay, well, it's a good message to keep in mind. The other thing is, it was released that the birds will be getting vaccines and vaccinated. How do you vaccinate birds?
Blow dart.
Like how do you go about that?
Yeah, they're notorious anti-vaxxers, a lot of
them. The cookers.
the kookaburras, they don't want it. The possibility of vaccinating wild birds is extremely difficult. And so what they're actually announced is they're going to vaccinate birds, like the captive bred birds of the endangered species that they've got in zoos and stuff. So just to give them, like, they're our insurance population. You don't want your insurance population going down. So they're doing that, but also it's just so hard to catch a wild bird, and you need to do it twice to give them a booster. And also catching them is going to stress them out, and that's going to weaken their immune system, and they're also going to scatter more. So the birds that they are going to do some vaccination for is on Phillip Island with the penguins.
Yeah.
Really important birds for people, love them, and they're really important to the economy of Victoria. So they're actually going to roll out 5,000 shots for penguins over on Phillip Island. But they're a lot easier because, well, one, they don't fly away, and two, they're really, really well studied, really used to people. And so the researchers know where the penguins are in their burrows, and they can come back and, get them and give them a jab, the second jab a bit later. So that's a positive thing, that, at least there'll be this, population of penguins that have some protection. But Vaccination's not going to work for most of our birds. It's just going to be impossible to do it. So we have to make sure, like at the moment, make sure we understand what's going on. And one of the really important things is to have people out and about who are out enjoying birds to report if they see any sick or dying birds, particularly in large numbers.
I was going to ask that, Sean. Sorry, I was going to ask that because is it at the stage now where we should be reporting any time we see a dead bird on the ground?
Especially if you're like driving along the road and you see something that's been hit by a car, that happens.
That's a different type of bird flu, isn't it? Flew in front of my car, yeah.
But especially at the moment along the beach, down on the coast, but also in the bay as well. We haven't had any reports of birds in Port Phillip Bay yet, but we have had, there was a couple of birds like seagulls and terns reported from Phillip Island. So the sick birds, some of them are moving around. So it's essentially down on the beaches that you really need to be alert, because the reality of this bird flu is it mainly affects, any bird can get it, but it really mainly affects birds that flock together and feed together, especially in water. So that's seabirds, coastal birds and water birds. And we're really worried if it gets in the water birds, like the ducks and things, they could, you know, they could move around a lot more. So if you're down the beach at the moment and you do see either a dead bird washed up or a bird that's looking a bit crooked, like kind of can't really fly, kind of droopy wings or just hanging its head, staggering around, they're all symptoms of bird flu. There could be other things, you know, there's lots of other things that make a bird crook. But if you do, it's really important to not go pick the bird up and take it into care, because you don't want to be, you know, spreading the virus on your clothes or anything.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's also, and then record what you see. If you don't know what type of bird it is, just take a photo and then report it. There's an emergency hotline you can ring, which is 1-800-675-888, and the appropriate authorities will get out there and collect the bird and sample it and dispose of the body if it's a dead one. And that's important at the moment, so we can track which birds it's in, but also it means if we can get to those individual birds and remove them from the beaches, that's one less source of potential infection. And the trouble is, if the bird's lying on the beach, you're going to get foxes or dogs or ravens or gulls. So they're going to feed on that dead bird, and then they get it, and then they pass it on to their mates. So
We want to avoid that. All right, we do need to fly, unfortunately, Sean Dooley from BirdLife Australia. So thank you very much for the update, for the chat. That number again to call if you do want to report, 1-800-675-888, and you can stay up to date, birdlife.org.au. Thanks for the update, mate.
Oh, thank you.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
I feel like by working together, our brains have started to mesh to become one.
Yeah, for better or worse.
Yeah, I feel I may have made yours a little bit worse because I'm surprised that you're thinking about this.
No, well, yeah. So, I approached a door that I knew. It was a glass door in a public building, big silver handle, you know the one. It's shaped sort of like a backward C.
Yeah.
And I could see through it. I knew it would go either way. And as I approached it, you would think logically you would walk straight through it. You would push and continue your momentum. But I didn't. I stopped, opened it, pulled it back, walked through and let it close behind me.
Yeah, I think it's a mental game though, because you – If a door has no sign that says push or pull, you don't know if it opens both ways.
True.
So you have to make a decision. And I always choose to use a little bit of momentum to do the push instead of going for the pull first, because if you go for a pull, it really hijacks your body and you're kind of like, oh, if it doesn't open. I think it's better to just push a little bit and be like, oh, it's a pull, and then go for the pull.
I totally agree, except when you're sure that it is a push door and it is a pull, actually a pull, and you give it too much momentum, and then have you ever done that and like walk straight into the door?
Oh, no, because I'm not a moron.
Okay, just me then. 52232955. I was too scared to do this earlier in the week because I thought no one will call, but hey, last 15 minutes of the show on a Friday, who cares, right?
Yeah.
So we do have people that have called.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah, Stacey's on the line from Cry. Morning, Stace.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good. How are you? Are you a pusher or a puller?
I'm always a push, but my reasoning is hilarious because I guarantee if I pull the door and it doesn't open, I will stumble, I will fall flat on my butt, and I will hurt myself, and I'll land up in the doctor's office with some sort of sprain or something on my knee.
Okay, you can't be out in the general public at all then, mate. No. Like, that's a lot.
You need to be taking care of yourself too.
I have two dodgy knees for context, but I'd rather go smack into a glass door than to hurt my knees.
Nothing worse than a sprained bum, that's for sure. Okay.
Well.
So what did we land on? She's a pusher. She?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Jackie in Whittington. Morning, Jack.
Hi, how are you going, guys?
Yeah, we're good. Are you a pusher or a puller?
I try to walk to the door and be subtle and look like I'm just going to test it and give it a gentle push. And if that doesn't work, it doesn't look like I've really tried. Yes. And then I give it a pull.
Yeah, so you sneak up on it.
Yeah, I do.
I reckon there's CCTV of you, grainy, just at, on those Facebook pages, the community Facebook pages.
With the Pink Panther music behind it.
All right, that's a good approach. Right, I like that. Lauren in Moolap, are you a pusher or a puller?
Look, I go both ways and am also, look, a reflector. So I think about this stuff too much, and I think for the people who push, they're the creative, forward-moving kind of people in the world. The people that pull, they're the reflective people, the people that think about this too much. So I think that's why you've discussed it on the show today.
You're one of us, aren't you, Lauren?
Yeah. I am one of you guys.
Lauren, can I please book you in for a psychology session?
Yeah, what do you charge?
Absolutely.
Who we got next?
We got Mike from Highton. Mike, push or pull when it comes to a door? What are you going with?
Well, I don't really want to hijack your show on a Friday morning, but
please do.
I'm going to give you a third option.
Okay.
I approached a door the other day and I just stood there waiting for it to open for me. Oh, the sensor hasn't caught me. So I took a step back, looked up, realised there was no sensor, realised it's a manual door. And not only that, but I'd walked through this door quite a few times before in my life. So why the hell do I think it was electronic? So basically, I'm the not a pusher, I'm not a puller, I'm just entitled.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.